the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. And I got some special guests for you guys today. Some good stuff, some educational stuff coming your way, as well as some good feel-good stories later on in the show. Special thanks, of course, to 40 Sons for this song you're listening to right now, Hurricane. You can download the song on iTunes, as well as this show here. Sign up. Don't be silly. Just search UFC Central in iTunes or go to sportsnet.ca/590. You can subscribe on there through the RSS feed and you'll never miss another episode. If you've missed one, you can always check it out over there. Don't forget, when you go to sportsnet.ca/590 or sportsnet.ca/MMA, scroll down. You will see my ugly little face there. You can click on it. You'll see Showdown's Corner. I try and give you the latest and greatest from the world of mixed martial arts with a different opinion that you might see or hear on this show or on the television side. Behind the glass, Dan Riccio, keeping me in time, making sure I don't mess up. We're actually celebrating our Juventus victory of Serie A. They are the champions. And of course, ironically enough, Igor Enriquez is not here today because obviously he doesn't want to deal with Danny and I. But behind the glass is Mr. Gordon Brunt fronting his Blue Jays hat. And at the moment, am I correct? The Jays are still winning 4-3? All right. Obviously, by the time you listen to the show, the score will be different or might be the same. Maybe they just win 4-3. But we were joking back there. Hopefully the Jays do emerge victorious. All right. I said I had some good guests today. The first one will be Sammy J. Stout, UFC lightweight, been around the game for a very long time. I don't even think he knows how long he's been around. I'm about to tell him in the middle of the interview. We'll also hear from Dr. John Berardi. He is the founder of Precision Nutrition. He is also George St. Pierre's nutrition coach. The reason why he's coming on the show, we are going to discuss what may need to be done for George St. Pierre to one day face Anderson Silva. He has to get his weight up. You will enjoy that segment, or hopefully when John comes on. And on my radio, on your radio left, to my left, Joe Bonnick. He is the founder, creator, CEO, man in charge, the guy who puts it all together, the Sean Tompkins Memorial Golf Tournament. The second annual will be going on this year, and Joe will talk about that a little bit later. I wanted him to be in studio with me for this whole show because he's always got some good insights, especially from a fan's perspective in terms, because he's been to so many different UFC events. But Joe, a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Joe. It's an honor to be here.
Are you upset with me? Because we were downstairs in the makeup room or the wardrobe room when I was giving you a tour and Ken Reed was there. And Ken said, hey, Joe, are you available August 25th to come out to Nova Scotia for a golf tournament? And I was like, yeah, I think I'm pretty good. Completely forgetting, top of my head, that the Sean Tompkins tournament is August 25th. Are you upset with me?
No, I think somebody wanted to hijack you, though. That's for sure.
Yeah. So now you know what it's like for me. Sometimes I get all these different offers. And if you weren't here, that could have been pretty ugly.
We would have a talk.
Yeah, and then the other guy that would probably be speaking to me is the guy that we have on the line right now, Sam Stout. And I'm sure Sam Stout, if I would have pulled that off, he would have probably... Sam's already hurt me once in a fight school segment, and I'm sure he would have beat me even worse than that. Sammy, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's happening, Joe?
Good, good. All right, listen, for you guys out there that don't know, Sammy Stout's 28-1. 9 wins via knockout or submission. This guy's an absolute machine. His last fight against Carlos Fodor. Sammy, lessons learned from that last fight.
You know, I think the biggest lesson is not to underestimate any of these guys coming in from Strikeforce. They're tough. They're bringing it, and they can hang with the UFC vets because I have my hands full with them.
Yeah, it was a good scrap. It was a back and forth battle. It could have went either way, but you did emerge victorious. Were you nervous when the judges were when Bruce Buffer was making that call?
I thought I had done enough to win. I thought I controlled the clinch and kept his back to the cage and didn't really, and kind of neutralized. What he was trying to do. And, I felt pretty confident about that one, but it's always, you always feel really relieved when your hand gets raised.
For the fans out there, Sammy, that don't understand that, why can't these guys finish each other off? And I keep telling them, listen, when you're talking about welterweight, lightweight, and below, a lot of these fights are going to go the distance. I mean, the knockout doesn't always just present itself. What's it like as a fighter, though, when you're throwing everything you can at a guy and he just won't go away?
It's a tough feeling. I know all the fans want to see fights finished, and I'm a striker, and I try and do it every time, but you don't make it to the UFC, you don't make it to the top of the heap if you have you know, if you have a soft chin, if you get knocked out easy, and like a lot of these guys can take a lot of punishment, and durability is a big reason of why guys make it to where they are, and I'm somebody who can attest to that.
Your next fight is about 5 or 6 weeks away. Isaac Valley Flag, 14-3-1, another tough guy. This is going down at UFC 161 Saturday, June 15th at the MTS Center in Winnipeg, Manitoba. His last fight, though, was a split decision victory over a guy that you competed against, Eves Edwards, and that was at UFC 156 when Isaac fought him. This guy's undefeated in his past 12 fights.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive for a guy at this stage in his career. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, he's competed for different organizations, but now he's at the big show. What's the difference you think he's going to experience when he comes to the big show?
I think there's, you know, he's had one little taste against Eves, and he's, you know, he fought in the UFC, so he got that first one out of the way. But I have, you know, this is going to be my 16th fight in the UFC, and it's I think I'm going to be a lot more comfortable in there. You know, there's the 12 fight unbeaten streak is pretty, pretty impressive. But like you said, it's not in the big show. You know, I came into the UFC on a 10-fight win streak, and once you get here, it's a whole new level of competition, and I plan on showing that.
When you look at Isaac Valley Flag's tape, what do you see that sort of sticks out to you that you need to watch out for?
Mostly his aggressiveness and his conditioning and the pace he keeps up through the fight. You know, he doesn't tire out. He stays in your face. And he'll go for 15 minutes straight, and that can be a tough thing to deal with.
You're listening to Sammy Stout right now. You can follow Sammy online at Sammy J Stout. And by the way, I forgot to mention, you can follow Joe Botnick on Twitter at Relentless Joe B for everything and anything that has to do with the Sean Tompkins Memorial Tournament. We'll talk to Sammy about that momentarily. Sammy, this camp here, where are you doing it?
I'm doing it mostly here in London at Adrenaline Training Center. All the boys are getting ready for fights, and they're in there every day helping me out. So I got lots of training partners, and they're doing, we're doing everything we can to have the guys kind of mimic his style. But, Isaac doesn't seem to be a real specialist in anything that I feel I need to go elsewhere to track down a great jiu-jitsu guy or a great wrestler. I think he's really a well-rounded guy, but I think I got everything I need to get ready for him here in London.
All right, you mentioned all the boys. We'll start off with some of the boys. Mark Hominick, is he going to help you out for this fight?
Mark's always around, but he's, you know, after his retirement, he's kind of taking it easy and he's focusing on his kids. But he's in the gym. He's in the gym here and there. But it's mostly the young bucks coming up that are helping me out. Jesse Ronson, Jesse Gross, Chad Laprise, Malcolm Gordon, Chris Hordeski is always still in there. We got some other young talent coming up in the gym. So, all those young, hungry guys are all make for great training partners.
How is the Polish Hammer doing?
He's doing great. You know, he's still in there kicking and punching. He's about to do, he's got a fight signed. He's going to do another one at 155. So he's going back up for a fight. He was having a hard time finding a fight for a while and he's got something lined up now. So, he's going hard. He's got his nose to the grindstone.
What happens when the body snatcher, Jesse Ronson, and Sammy Hansa Stone Stout are competing, sparring, and Jesse starts throwing those body punches?
Honestly, Ronson's probably the hardest guy for me to spar in the gym. He's always working the body. His angles are fantastic. His striking is really, it's really phenomenal. And me and him have some great goals in the sparring room for sure.
I got a few texts a couple of days ago from a certain Chris Clements. Is he back in there yet?
Oh yeah, he's in there. He's still kind of easing his way back in. He had that shoulder surgery and he's coming back strong. He's doing still kind of rehabbing it. But he's getting in there and moving around with us, doing a little grappling, keeping it light. Not a lot of super hard sparring or anything yet, but you know, that'll all come in time, and he's staying in shape and trimming down already.
Good to hear. That's very good to hear. We want to see Chris Clements get back in there as soon as possible. One of the good guys in the sport. That whole camp out there is unreal. Well, let's talk about Winnipeg. Have you been to Winnipeg before?
I have been to Winnipeg, yes.
Your thoughts?
I've actually fought a couple times in Winnipeg.
Was it Giuseppe's show?
Giuseppe Donatelli's show. Yeah. I did a couple kickboxing fights out that way. The fans are. I went out there for a couple of Krzysztof Szyszynski's shows.
Oh yeah,
and cornered some of our guys there. And you know, the fans there are always you know, enthusiastic. I don't think there's a whole lot else to do in Winnipeg other than so when a big fight comes up, they all make it over there, and they're all pretty gung ho about it.
So what is the Sam Stout tour guide for Showdown Joe? What are you going to tell me that I need to behave myself when I go out there? Or what do I have to watch out for?
I don't know. It's not the best place for a nightlife, but, you know, I'm sure you can find some trouble there.
I knew exactly where you're going with this. All right. Not sure if you know this, but when you compete in Winnipeg at UFC 161, it will mark in and around the 10-year anniversary of you turning pro, and you're 29 years old.
Wow, is it 10 years already?
You made your debut in 2003, son.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're making me feel old.
You're 29, though. Like, how crazy is that?
That is pretty wild.
Do you feel like you're 29?
I'm starting to.
All right. Give me a little, not a prediction, but at least an analysis of Isaac Valley Flag. If you could write the perfect script to send a message to Joe Silva and Dana White, especially with all these crazy cuts that are going on with the UFC, that Sam Stout is here, staying at 155, and I'm here to make a statement. What's that perfect fight against Isaac Valley Flag?
I'd like to have it come out and start off in that fast pace that he likes, and I'd like to just kind of expose the holes in his striking game, and that's kind of what I'm going to be looking to do. You know, he throws some wide punches, some looping punches. Very, you know, very in your face. But I think I can beat him to the punch, and I think I can make him pay for his mistakes.
All right, August 25th, Sunday, Fire Rock Golf Club. You busy?
Oh, I'll be there. I've already played Fire Rock a couple times. I'm getting used to the track. I'm going to be ready to go.
Oh, I see how this works. So you're not pulling a Hordeski on me. Where Hordeski was supposed to be my golf partner last time, and he never even showed.
Yeah, we're definitely not much of a golfer. We should have warned you.
So, well, listen, I'm just throwing this out there as an option. So, obviously, it's going to be a great event. We're going to raise some good coin for the Sean Tompkins Memorial Fund as well as the Heart and Stroke Foundation. But at the same time, the UFC is going to have an event in September in Toronto. What if you're on that card? Can you still make it to the tournament?
Yeah. Hopefully, it wouldn't be too early in September. But yeah, I'll still be out there. Oh yeah. I've kind of worked golfing into my training regime anyway, so it'll be perfect.
Attaboy, and just so you know, my agent, Chris Humphreys, who you've known for a while, is trying to get me, you, Botnick, Carter Wells, and all the different guys together for a golf event after the Winnipeg event, so you better be ready for
that.
That'd
be great.
There might be some money on the line with all of us out there.
Okay.
And your boy, Brennan Prust, what's going on?
He got a little hurt in his last game. Looks like he hit the boards pretty hard. I'm not sure what's up yet, but you know he had a good season. Hopefully it's not over too soon.
That's it. Now I don't want to make any more reference to the picture that Brendan and I sent your way while we were in Montreal. But you got it right.
Yeah, I got it. And I was jealous. I was jealous. I was wishing I was there.
That was courtesy of Hominick, by the way. You know that, right?
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Brennan Prust and I were spending some time together with Hominick and our boss, Bobby, and we took a picture and we decided to send it to Sammy. And I don't think Sammy was happy with either one of us, but we did it anyways.
Yeah.
Sammy, thank you very much. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I don't like missing a good time in Montreal.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right. Have yourself a good evening, brother. Thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to running into you the fight week for UFC 161.
Take care, Joe.
There you have it. Sammy J. Stout taking on Isaac Valley Flag, UFC 161, Saturday, June 15th at the MTS Center in Winnipeg. Hey, Joe, I'm not happy with Sammy. If he's already getting golfing in at Fire Rock, we got to figure this out. There's no way he's going to beat my score.
Well, you know, he does take it pretty seriously. And I actually heard him on tape last year saying it was going to be his next career.
He likes it. Chris Clements. I mean, you've golfed with Chris, right?
Yeah, he's talented.
He's got skills. He was giving me some pointers and some tips, but no one is better than Carter Wallace, the strength and conditioning coach for the guys over at Adrenaline. I mean, that guy's we call him Tiger for a reason.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal athlete, and he hits the long ball, and he hits it straight. So straight, he's fun to watch.
Straight and on a dime.
Yeah.
The guy's phenomenal. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Dr. John Berardi, the founder of Precision Nutrition. He is GSP's nutrition coach. We'll get a whole bunch of information from him. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, at Showdown Joe. Special thanks to the boys behind the glass right now, Danny Riccio and Gordon Brook, my producer. Special thanks to 40 Sons, a song you're hearing right now called Hurricane. Grab it off of iTunes and subscribe to this show. If you're going to go to iTunes, type in UFC Central and subscribe to this. You will never miss another broadcast or episode and or listen to old ones when I have other interviews, some crazy stuff, because I'm about to do an interview right now that may be historic and hopefully will get picked up by some other people out there that have always talked about the Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre fight and how I've long maintained that, you know, I've known George St. Pierre since he was a teenager. It's been a long time. I kind of know exactly what's happening with his career, but this Anderson Silva fight continues to get closer and closer. And by the way, like I mentioned before, to your radio left, Joe Botnick, he's the guy that puts together the Sean Tompkins tournament. We'll talk more about that after the break. Follow Joe online at Relentless Joe B for all the information regarding that tournament, and we'll give you more information after we speak to Dr. John Berardi. He's the founder of Precision Nutrition, nutrition coach for George St. Pierre. Check out this bio, all right? He's the founder of the world's largest online nutrition coaching company, Precision Nutrition. He's an elite nutrition coach and exercise physiologist. He's coached hundreds of amateur and professional athletes. In the last three Olympics alone, his athletes collected over 30 medals, 15 of them gold. He's a member of the Nike High Performance Team, an advisor to the Nike Portland Project, and has worked extensively with a host of professional athletes, including UFC welterweight champion George St. Pierre. He maintains a regular blog at the world's most popular fitness website, livestrong.com. He's a director of the world's largest body transformation project, a one-of-a-kind fat loss coaching program that's produced more total weight loss than all 14 seasons of The Biggest Loser combined. That's insane. Dr. John Berardi, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you, sir?
That bio made me sound great, Joe. Thank you.
That's what I do. And for those listening, by the way, we're gonna go visit Dr. Berardi very soon. I think we're gonna go see you next week, John?
Yeah, next week in Toronto. It's gonna be fantastic.
I think it's gonna get ugly in there. You're gonna put me in there with you in the same room, and you're gonna be giving diagrams and stuff like that about what's going on with George St. Pierre, potentially what can happen in terms of putting on weight and losing weight.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. It really is. You know, I think when we talk about things like, you know, weight cutting and using a scientific process and in particular this idea of actually moving up a weight class in a way where you gain nothing but muscle strength and size and, you know, without any excess body fat and using just a really scientific approach, I mean, it's really, really cool stuff. I mean, it's what I went to school for. It's what I do every day. It's what I get really excited about.
We'll get to that momentarily. I want to ask you, people probably want to know, when and where did you meet George?
We actually met in Vegas right before the second BJ Penn fight. I had been friends with Jonathan Chamberg, who many people know has worked with George for years in the strength and conditioning capacity. And I was down for the fight. I was hanging out with some friends in Vegas, and John sent me a text message and said, hey, why don't you come up and meet George? And, you know, I've been wanting to hook you guys up for a while now. So we went up, and I met some of the people who prepare the meals for George, and they cooked us this fantastic spread. So we had this great meal together. We got along really, really well, and from that point on, they, you know, Faraz, John, and the whole crew just kind of embraced the work that I do, invited me to help, and you know, I've been working with George ever since.
Now, I've been blessed to be part of the Precision Nutrition Program. I've got all the books and follow the shakes and stuff like that to a T and make sure my breakfast and lunch and dinners and get my right calories in there. For those that don't know what Precision Nutrition is, though, can you explain it in sort of layman's terms?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're a nutrition coaching company, and we focus on, you know, two things. First is helping people look better, feel better, and perform at the highest level that they can perform at. So, you know, obviously we work with a lot of professional and Olympic athletes that you had mentioned, but really the bulk of our clientele are just, you know, regular people, men and women who want to lose fat, build muscle, gain strength, get their nutrition in check, that sort of a thing. So while, you know, lots of people hear about the famous athletes we work with, you know, 99% of the people we work with are just everyday people who want to look better, feel better, you know, exercise properly and that sort of a thing. And, you know, we focus on, you know, the exercise part and the nutritional supplement part, but predominantly nutrition. So what you eat, you know, when you eat it, how you fuel your workouts and that sort of a thing.
So I downloaded TouchFit. I had a talk with Rudolph and George, and they know what it's like for me to be on the road. And sometimes there's, you know, the hotel gyms aren't the greatest. I'm not that big of a jogger. I mean, don't tell Mark Holmnick that because he's trying to get me to jog forever. But, you know, sometimes I have to work out in my room because I'm in between shoots and I can get 45 minutes in and touch fit. You actually mentioned it as well in the email that I should download. So I downloaded it and I absolutely love it. And I listened to your little segment on there. Talk about touch fit real quick before we get to the other important stuff.
Yeah, it's the new app that we worked on. And, you know, the idea is I'm calling it Fitness 2.0 because Fitness 1.0 was when you wanted to get in shape, you had to join a gym. And maybe you got a diet book and you tried to follow along with the diet plan and the recipes and you went to the gym to get your exercise. Fitness 2.0 is kind of turning that whole thing on its head, right? It's this idea that in your pocket, so on your iPhone or your Android or in your iPad, you can actually take a customized workout system with you. And like you say, you could just prop it up in your hotel room and follow along with George as he sort of takes you through a customized workout. And it's really cool because it is legitimately customized. You get to sort of tell the program how you're responding to the exercise in terms of recovery and level of difficulty. And then each subsequent workout is matched to your level, so basically what you told it, which is super cool. And then obviously there's some nutrition segments and some training education in the app as well. And like I say, it's sort of a new generation of fitness. So when you're traveling or if you're a type of person who doesn't even just want to go to the gym at home, you can have this option where you can just work out at home using body weight type exercises. And it's all streaming live right from your, you know, mobile device. It's really cool.
Now, George St. Pierre has always mentioned that, you know, he's got the body type that he simply cannot put weight on. He's always burning off these calories. I mean, the running joke was like George can go to McDonald's and have whatever he wants and it won't even affect his body because he's just burning so much. I think he mentioned it in his most recent book when Christophe Madu was all over him about his diet. But at the same time, there can be a scientific way that George can pack on weight should this fight with Anderson Silva be put together.
Absolutely. And people say that I hear about it all the time. And, you know, not only am I someone who works with MMA and UFC athletes, I'm actually a fan myself. And so I hear it all the time when I listen to fight media, people talking about, oh, George can't gain that kind of weight, Anderson's just too big, and that sort of thing. And obviously the height differential is something important, but the weight differential, that's easily overcome. And I was with George not too long ago in Montreal, and we were talking about this. And you know, I called him aside and I just told him, look, if this fight happens, the weight thing is something you're not going to have to worry about. I'll just come up. We'll spend a week together. I'll show you what to do. 6 months later, we'll have him walking around at 210. It's not a problem. And, you know, this is, you know, I think it's worth saying because a lot of people, their heads will go there. This is completely drug-free, not taking any hormonal supplements, none of that kind of a thing. It's just using scientific nutrition. And in fact, you know, Joe, I actually sent you this free ebook that we published called Bigger, Smaller, Bigger, where we actually pilot what I would do with George with one of the guys that I work with on a routine basis. His name's Nate, and he's not a MMA fighter, but he comes from a martial arts background. He's got a black belt in Taekwondo, and he's a writer. So we actually took him through the exact protocol that we would, you know, potentially put George through if this fight were to happen. And it's super cool. And there's a lot of non-conventional stuff. I mean, we use what we call calorie cycling. So some days are like super high calories and other days are lower calories. And even one day a week, and this is what blows people's minds, we actually have him fast, where Sundays he doesn't eat any food at all. And you might be thinking, well, that's totally crazy. For someone who is trying to gain weight, why would you ever do that? And the idea is that when you don't fast for a day, you get a massive growth hormone spike, and you also reset what's called your insulin sensitivity, so your body's ability to tolerate carbohydrates and store those in the muscle rather than in the fat. So in Nate's case, in 30 days, we helped him gain 20 pounds of lean mass. His strength went through the roof, and it was using this systematic carbohydrate cycling and once a week fasting. So it's really cool stuff. And, you know, when people say, oh, yeah, well, you just have to feed George more, it's more than that. I mean, it's using the principles of physiology and biochemistry, which, you know, I went to school for a super long time to understand, to actually help a guy, you know, like George, who walks around in the 190s, to potentially gain about 20 pounds of lean mass. And I'm very confident that his strength and power would increase, his lean mass would increase, you'd see next to no fat gain. And he could, you know, sort of pound for pound be the same type of walking around weight as Anderson Silva in terms of lean mass.
So you took my next question away because you segued it beautifully. For those that missed it, it's called the Bigger, Smaller, Bigger Project.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we did was, you know, I am a stickler for keeping really detailed scientific data when we do fun projects like this. And the thing is, you know, you can't really do that as well with fighters because they actually have to train and they have to perform and they have to fight. But with Nate, who didn't have to do any of that stuff, we actually could test and pilot out projects. So the first part of his project was gaining 20 pounds in 30 days, and that was the goal. We took him from 170 to 190 in 30 days using this specific protocol, and we just documented everything. And like I say, I mean, we publish it free online. There's, you know, you don't have to buy anything. It's a totally free book that you can browse through. And then what we did, once he was up at that weight, that new 20 pounds heavier weight, we practiced what the cutting protocol might be like for someone like George. So how would you then, because again, if George and Anderson were to fight at 185 and George were to come up to 210, then he'd obviously still have to cut. So we'd have to cut him down to 185. So we practiced that exact protocol that we would use also and document the whole thing. So it's pretty gnarly. Like you get to see the workouts, and Nate actually even kept a journal every day, so he told you what days really sucked and what days were really good and that sort of a thing. So it was really fun, and I know you've had a look, Joe, and it's a fascinating glimpse into sort of behind the scenes, both in terms of physiology and in terms of practice. What actually would a fighter do to accomplish this goal, and in this case, have a super fight with Anderson Silva?
It's actually a fantastic read. I'll tell people that right now. You got to check it out. It's like I said, bigger, smaller, bigger project. But you mentioned one thing about the weight cutting. Would the weight cut be different for a guy like George that he's used to when he's cutting down from like the 190s down to 170 if he was to get from 210 to 215 and he's got to get down to 185?
I think it would be a bit easier, actually. You know, I think that's what you're hinting at. Yeah, it would be a bit easier. You know, I mean, the truth is, you know, the more lean mass you have, the more water you have in your body. Muscle mass is about 70% water. So that's why guys who are naturally very lean and muscular, they can cut more weight more easily. And you see that in the UFC. You see some guys who are pretty large. I mean, some guys who come to mind like Anthony Johnson or,
yep,
you know, Thiago Alves, these types of guys who are just jacked dudes. And you know, some of them have a hard time with a weight cut, but they're also cutting like 40 or 50 pounds, right? So it's kind of insane. They're pushing limits, but they can even try and attempt that because they have so much muscle mass, and muscle is predominantly water. So in George's case, like I say, again, it's a big question mark as to whether this fight will happen. Both he and Anderson have some opponents potentially coming up that they need to get past first. But if it were to happen, and you know, George were to go up to 210-ish, I think the cut would be a bit easier, actually, because he's going to be a little bit artificially larger, if you will, from these techniques that we're going to use that, you know, I mean, when I say artificial, I mean, he's usually walking around 190. Getting up to 210 will be definitely putting the pedal to the metal.
If the folks want to know more information about yourself, Twitter, Facebook, websites, fire it off.
Yeah, they can come visit us at, first of all, to learn more about this project and to read it all for free, they can go to biggersmallerbigger.com. If they want to learn more about what we do on the nutrition coaching side, it's precisionnutrition.com. And from there, they can jump off. They can find us on Facebook. They can find us on Twitter. We got all that going on. And, you know, from the site, you can figure out which way you want to best keep in touch because we publish free articles all the time. We share everything we do largely for free because this is just what we love to do. It's super fun for us, and we love people to get educated. And hopefully we can make a positive change in their lives.
I will see you Wednesday or Thursday next week.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's on Wednesday.
All right. I'll do my hair.
See you then.
All right, John. Thank you very much. There he is, guys. Dr. John Berardi, founder of Precision Nutrition. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Wait till we get him on the television side, and he's got the graphs and the pictures and everything. It's going to be phenomenal in a future episode of UFC Central. All right, coming up after the break, a longer in-depth conversation between myself and Joe Botnick about the upcoming Sean Tompkins tournament and much, much more from the world of MMA. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. My co-host today, this segment, will be Joe Botnick. You can follow him online at Relentless Joe B. He puts together the Sean Tompkins Memorial Tournament that'll be going down this August 25th. an event that I almost accidentally would have missed if Joe wasn't here today, because Ken Reed from Sportsnet Connected tried to get me to go out to Nova Scotia for an event out there, a golfing event out there, and I got my dates crossed, and Joe was basically saying, fine, we'll get a different MC. You weren't happy with me, were you?
Well, you're definitely being drafted, but we'd like to have you around for sure.
All right. For those that don't know, I mean, if you watched UFC Central after a week or so after the tournament, you got to see what an amazing event that Joe put on. And if I can hopefully frame this properly for the listeners out there, when we arrived at Fire Rock Golf Club, we knew we were in for a golf event. We weren't expecting an event. We weren't expecting that insane prize table that you put together and how every hole was sponsored and I remember Mark Hominick's face, Sam Stout's face, Sammy's sister who's Sean's widow, Emily's face. We were all just like, oh my goodness, like Joe did this by himself pretty much. This is unbelievable. How did you put it all together?
Well, they call me Relentless Joe B for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a vision from really, first of all, really meeting Sean Tompkins in early 2011 as he was up in London. He was training Hominick for his fight against Jose Aldo for UFC 129. And we went out to lunch, a couple of us, and I was just immediately, engaged and, really thought this is somebody special. And, had some interactions with him, over the course of that year. And I was actually supposed to have lunch with him on the Monday, the day after he passed away. So, we had a connection, and I just felt, I was connected to the team, at Adrenaline with Dominic Stout, Hordeski, and all the guys there. And I just felt like I wanted to do something. So I was having a conversation with somebody in November of 2011, and I just said, I wonder if they want to do a memorial golf tournament. And we thought it was a brilliant idea. And then within a couple of months, the team and Emily said, let's go ahead and do it. So I just started the wheels in motions, had some conversations with people, and put about 300 hours into it, and it totally paid off. Totally
it showed.
Paid off.
It was unreal. In terms of what can we expect this year?
Well, definitely we're expecting another sellout. So we'll have another sellout. We'll have sponsors at every hole again. Most of the sponsors that were there last year say that they're coming back. And, some of those sponsors included, we had a Harley Davidson as a hole-in-one opportunity. We had a convertible Mustang as a hole-in-one opportunity. We had $10,000, and we had a global, what did we call it, the USC Global Trip Experience.
Yes.
So there's going to be an awful lot going on. Big prize table, weather cooperates, and we sent the benchmark pretty tall.
you think?
But hopefully we'll have a repeat and improve upon what we already accomplished.
Online registration started today. FireRockGolf.com. Fire as in fire, rock as in something you would throw, and golf as in the ball. So FireRockGolf.com, and just click on tournaments. What do people need to know?
They just need to know that once they get to the registration page, it's $125. Which is a great fee. You get lunch, you get dinner, you get all your golf, you get prize opportunities.
Can we talk about the dinner?
We could.
Because it was fantastic last year.
Well, we got to give Fire Rock credit, their head chef there. And, it's just a quality event. It's a quality, tournament that they put together. And they're pros at it. They're absolutely experts.
Brennan Press was there last year from the Montreal Canadiens. Hopefully he'll be there this year. But he can't be in the same table or room as me. He's got to be on the complete opposite side.
We can arrange that.
Okay, because he's a Hab and can't get along right now. But we got along in Montreal. That was insane. A lot of potential celebrities will be coming by.
Everybody knows, the local guys obviously are, Mark Hominick, Sam Stout, Chris Hordeski, Chris Clements, all the people that, are part of the Adrenaline Gym. Thankful to, Sportsnet and yourself for coming out and supporting.
Oh, we'll be
the
there.
Event.
We'll be there for sure. Guaranteed.
Excellent.
And Jimmy, my associate producer, will be begging Jacob and Bobby to actually be the producer for this event, like to come and record, right?
Listen, the more the merrier.
He gets his own golf cart again? Him and the camera guy?
You know, they're a little thin, so we'll have to see what we can arrange. Everybody wants a golf cart to help out, and it's awesome.
You know what Jimmy's going to do, right? He knows he has to work that day, but he's going to bring his golf clubs regardless, and the camera guy is going to lose a spot in the back of the golf cart as he's trying to record me and Mark and Sammy and yourself and everything like that, and Jimmy's going to try and get a couple swings in there. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, the best work days involve golf clubs.
Which reminds me, you know Chris is going to try and get a hold of you, right? My agent, Humphreys, for a golf day?
Absolutely.
Yeah, things could get ugly. All right, so one final thing before we wrap this up and start moving on to some UFC news. Anything else? They believe it's an 18-hole scramble, shotgun start?
Yeah, 18-hole scramble, shotgun start. So registration will open at 10, lunch will start at 11, and shotgun start will be at 12:15.
Sunday, August 25th, 2013, firerockgolf.com. Be there. You want to sign up soon because if it's as quick as last year, you're going to have some problems when you try to get your foursome together. Get out there. It's for a great, great cause. Sean Tompkins Memorial Fund and the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Canada. How much money did you raise last year for them?
$16,000.
That's it, guys. Come on. Come out there and support. We'll have a great day. 10345, 10345 Oxborough Drive, Kamoka, Ontario. It's not that far of a drive from Toronto, but if you're listening in the Greater Toronto Region, you can get out there. We will have a good time, and it could get ugly, and I promise it could get ugly between me, Hominick, Stout, Hordeski, Clements, Joe Botnick, and a bunch of you won't be able to golf, unfortunately.
Well, I just, I fit in where I can.
Okay. Well, we'll see. If Hordeski doesn't show up again, you can ride with me. Is that cool?
Perfect. It's a deal.
All right, lots of stuff in the world of mixed martial arts. I don't know where to begin. We'll start off, though, something that hit me this morning when I got to work. Mark Hunt is having visa issues trying to get from New Zealand to the U.S. to take on Junior Dos Santos in a couple of weeks because of an old arrest. I don't know what the deal was with the old arrest, but he's adamant on Twitter that some of his buddies back in the day, and he used a couple of four-letter words, he's never helping out friends again, blah, blah. The UFC is now getting involved, Joe, and they're going to get that visa taken care of for him, but he'll now be able to fight. It's not confirmed yet, but apparently he will be able to compete against Junior Dos Santos. How much do you think that's going to, from a fan's perspective, will that play in his head?
That's a fight the fans want to see, first of all. And, you know, I can imagine any level of anxiety when someone's this close to a fight. The sooner it's resolved, the better for everybody.
Mark Pavlich from the Maximum Fighting Championships in a bit of a war with the guy that was supposed to be the main event for a show. They had back and forth battle in terms of when the medicals should have come in. They didn't come in, and now he lost his main event. The manager, so Mark is saying that if the manager should have been more professional to get all the medicals in weeks ahead of time, but the manager is saying that Mark Pavlich and the company didn't send out the medical requirements until 2 weeks before the fight. When I hear stuff like this, I think to myself, well, who's really to blame here? Is it the promoter that's sending out the message 2 weeks before the fight? Or is it the manager that should know that, listen, if your fighter's competing in Canada, what type of medical requirements do you need? Or is it a case of somewhere in between?
Well, exactly, somewhere in between, because there's three sides to a story. Yep. The left, the right, and
in the middle.
The truth.
Yeah. What else we got here? Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez obviously was the Bellator lightweight champion, was supposed to come over to the UFC, is now in a terrible, terrible, bitter war with the Bellator Fighting Championships. He was their champ. He lost to Michael Chandler. And now it looks like he won't be going to the UFC anytime soon. He's just stuck with Bellator. And if Bellator wins that case, well, what is Eddie supposed to do? Fight for Bellator? The answer is yes. I come from a promotion background. When I got into this sport, one of the first things I did was work as a promoter with the UCC and TKO, and we graduated to Freedom Fight and Apex Fighting, Apex Championship Fighting. And one thing I always taught myself, the team that I was with, was if a fighter doesn't want to be with us, by all means, walk away. You're good to go. I don't want a fighter competing under the banner that doesn't want to be here. But this to me smells more of not Bellator versus Eddie Alvarez. This to me smells like the UFC's former broadcast partner, which is Viacom and Spike, preventing Eddie Alvarez from going to the UFC where he could shine and make way more money. Agree or disagree?
Well, when you peel the layers, there's a number of stories that can go on in situations like this. And everybody, you know, the bottom line is they've got an agenda. I think more than anything, Alvarez, you know, he wants to fight. you know, he's got...
Yeah, we're losing a guy in the prime of his career right now.
Exactly. So who's losing out? Well, the fans are losing out. You know, the longer it goes on in stalls, you know, the promotions also lose out as well. So, again, hopefully that's something that they get resolved fairly shortly.
You've been to numerous UFC events globally.
A number.
Not a big number, but a number.
How
many international ones have you gone to? You've been to Toronto, obviously, but how many international ones have you gone to? Vegas?
No international. I've been in Vegas when there's been an event.
Oh, okay.
But I had to do a trade show, so I was actually kind of
working and
mixing business with pleasure. But, you know, the scene there in the week is, it's like Toronto. It's crazy. It's fun.
For those that have never been to a UFC event on that scale, what would you tell them?
Experience of a lifetime. You know, if you're at all a fan or becoming a fan of mixed martial arts and the UFC, you know, it's a party atmosphere, and I don't mean it's a party like it's crazy and it's out of control. It's like a celebration. You know, you're with a whole bunch of people that are experiencing the same thing you are, and it's a lot of fun. And the first one that I ever went to was George St. Pierre, Josh Koscheck in Montreal. And I went there with my then 19-year-old daughter, who's 22 now, and we were blown away. Like, we had the time of our life.
She's still a fan?
Big time.
Yeah?
Big time, yeah. She looks at me like I'm the crazy one, but I think she's actually getting a little crazy.
I think the missus looks at you like a crazy one. What does the wife say about all this?
She tries to ignore me or ignore that part of my life anyway.
All right, well, hopefully you get a chance to come up to some international events, whether it's in Vegas, Winnipeg. Well, that's not international, it's national, but hopefully you get to Winnipeg. But above all, thank you very much for coming in. Hope you enjoyed the Sportsnet tour and the whole radio thing here.
Awesome. Honored to be here. Thanks very much, Joe.
All right, don't forget, Joe Bonnick. Follow him online, at Relentless Joe B. Thank you very much to Sammy J. Stout for coming on the show, and, of course, Dr. John Berardi for giving us a glimpse of what's in store should George St. Pierre take on Anderson Silva. Special thanks to the boys behind the glass, Danny Riccio, and, of course, Gord Brunt. You've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.